Chapter 9. Judicial Security. Perry was a master of coming up with ways to thwart those who tried to trump his power. He could then use that power to entice and blackmail other judges to keep himself in power. Judges stealing hours might not be an issue in some of the Florida circuits, but in the Ninth Circuit, it is an overt fraud on the state of Florida. You see, judges and their judicial assistants get paid by the state if they work or not. Sure, it's a felony each time a judge signs his assistant's time card for hours they didn't work, but if no one knows, then it's totally legal. Right? If a tree falls in a forest and all that bullshit. In order to allow judges to come to work periodically, Chief Judge Belvin Perry came up with an amazing approach to insulate Ninth Circuit judges from time card fraud. His invention was two words: judicial security. For example, within Orange County and Osceola County complexes, employees are tracked as they move around the campus. Every time a judge scans his proximity card to enter the judge's parking garage or opens a secure door, an electronic record is written. A judge scans their prox card and presses the elevator button. The judge gets time-stamped. In this manner, there is an excellent mechanism for telling if a judge and their JA are at work. They are electronically tracked throughout the building and parking garage. To demonstrate how great the underlying defrauding system called judicial security works, try sending the Ninth Circuit a public records request for the judges and JA's prox card timestamps. Understand? By Florida statute, under the Sunshine Law, you can't make a public records request against the judiciary. But the security system doesn't belong to the judiciary. In our circuit, the building and the security system belong to Orange County. The computers, the records are written to belong to Orange County. Therefore, this data, those time-stamped records, should be available for citizens to see by making a public records request. If you make a public records request for judges' proximity card records, you will receive the following response from Orange County, Florida government. Section 281.301, Florida Statutes provides: security systems, records, and meetings exempt from public access or disclosure. Information relating to the security systems for any property owned by or leased to the state or any of its political subdivisions, and information relating to the security systems for any privately owned or leased property which is in the possession of any agency as defined in Section 119.011, Subsection 2, including all records, information, photographs, audio and visual presentations, schematic diagrams, surveys, recommendations, or consultations or portions thereof relating directly to or revealing such systems or information, and all meetings relating directly to or that would reveal such systems or information are confidential and exempt from SS.119.07, Subsection 1, and other laws and rules requiring public access or disclosure. This exemption was clarified and recreated in Section blah 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 Florida Statutes during the 2001 legislative session. Florida Statutes provides: a security system plan or portion thereof for any property owned by or leased to the state or any of its political subdivisions, or any privately owned or leased property held by any agency, is confidential and exempt from the state constitution. As used in this section, the term a security system plan includes all records, information, photographs, audio and visual presentations, schematic diagrams, surveys, recommendations, or consultations or portions thereof relating directly to the physical security of the facility or revealing security systems. As the records are exempt from disclosure, this public records request will be closed. Due to this loophole, what's really happening is the court is allowing judges and their assistants to steal hours from the state by claiming this exemption. There is no oversight of judges and their assistants' work attendance. It's ludicrous how well this interdiction works. I contend that the security system is a time clock and data that places a state employee at a place and time should be made public under Florida's Sunshine Law. The public might not be able to get their hands on these records, but all court administration has to do is request them, and Orange County emails them the records right away. I know because they were sent to me in my CTO position. There is no exemption that says court administration or a chief judge, for that matter, can request and receive these records. It should require a court order, and there better be a good reason for it. but these records are routinely provided to court administration only due to judicial security. It's a judicial security issue if a judge comes to work on time, works the entire day, and leaves on time. In Perry's logic, a judge doing their regular work on regular workdays during regular hours is a judicial security issue. I mean, how does it qualify as a judicial security issue for a judge to enter a secure judicial elevator? Why would that particular record be a judicial security issue? It's a secured elevator in a secured part of the courthouse. The public doesn't have access to it. However, in Perry's eyes, the public seeing this record somehow puts his judges at risk. I recall one judge who had his A clear his docket and he left for a trip to Japan. He didn't return for 6 months. Can the public find any records that support this judge going AWOL? Nope. Only the building security system time clock can prove this abuse. Keeping judicial security in mind and how important it is, check this out. On the court's website, the court administration Matt Benefiel created a virtual tour of the courthouse. In this clip that is posted on the Ninth Circus Court's website, the court administrator walks you from outside the courthouse, then up the elevator, then goes directly to the unsecured judicial conference room. If you intend to do harm to a judge, then there's nothing better than having them all in one unsecured room at the same time, and court administration gives you a step-by-step, turn-by-turn to that room. If my court has already pulled this video, I downloaded it while it was still active and will post it on my website. So much for fucking judicial security. It's strange that inside the courthouse there is this level of judicial security, yet the judges walk to lunch and drive back and forth to work. If anyone was interested in doing them harm, then the last place they would consider assaulting them was inside the courthouse, which is why protecting judges' buildings' prox card records is ridiculous. The only person who used these records was Perry, and now, probably Munyon. Wax on, wax off, grasshopper. When you think about judicial security, you might include courthouse security as well. Even this is a total clusterfuck at the Orange County Courthouse. I completely understand that if I had the job the Orange County Sheriff officers have to protect the courthouse, my mind would turn into that of a jellyfish. They sit or stand all day doing nothing, listening to courtroom dribble or monitoring the screening of those entering the courthouse. Can you imagine doing that for 30 years? Where does your mind go during that time? The only thing that can snap them out of their total brain funk is discovering a bag someone accidentally dropped on the sidewalk outside the courthouse. Holy shit, for these brain-dead cops, this constitutes a full-scale bring-on-the-bomb-squad observation drones and bomb-disposal robots type of incident. I counted no less than 20 officers at the last someone dropped a bag judicial security issue. Instead of them bringing in their brand-new $100,000 robot, I would have volunteered to open the bag and tell them, no bomb. It looks like it's a ham sandwich again. And then I would have taken a bite just to make sure it wasn't laced with anthrax. For a time, they evacuated the courthouse after every called in a bomb threat. It happened so often that we could barely get any work done. I suggested that we create a bomb threat call line to ensure it was a real bomb threat. It would go something like this. Thank you for calling the Ninth Circuit Court. If this is a bomb threat for the state attorney, then call 407-123-4567. If this is a bomb threat for the public defender, then call 407-123-4568. Else, to indicate this is a real bomb threat, please enter the floor number the bomb is located on. Icky sounds. Thank you, you selected floor 14. If that is correct, then press 1. Key sounds. Thank you. If this is a bomb triggered by a timer, press 1. If this is a bomb with a physical trigger when opened, press 2. If this is a remote control trigger such as using a cell phone, press 3. Key sounds. Thank you. You chose bomb with a timer. If the bomb is set to go off within the hour, please press 1. If the bomb is set to go off within 3 hours, please press 2. If longer than 3 hours, please press 3. Key sounds. Thank you. You chose 3 hours. To confirm your bomb threat request, we will send you a confirmation code that you will need to enter on our bomb threat webpage. Please provide us your cell phone number. I'm not sure what changed up on court admin's 23rd floor or how they now dither between a real bomb threat and a fake one, but they stopped evacuating the courthouse. I don't know why one call would be taken more seriously than another. I assume they hired someone with superior bomb threat intuition or a crystal ball to handle bomb threats. Maybe they flip a coin. Who knows? You see, the bomb thing is so rare that it might as well be non-existent. Anyone who places a bomb is going to put it where it can't be seen, or they will drive a big-ass truck up in front of the courthouse and run away. When I worked at the court, there was no dedicated deputy assigned to the front loop of the courthouse, so any truck with a 60-second timer was good to blow. No one could get to it in time, and sheriff deputies would be probably fucking around with a robot to unlock the doors when it blew. Security at the Orange County Courthouse is an illusion. These officers' brains have been turning into mush for so long that the least tiny bit of excitement is the highlight of their year. As far as cops go, based on recent events, you might believe that Orlando law enforcement officers are cowards, but I feel they are good people who are poorly led. It took about an hour and 14 minutes from when officers arrived at the school to when they breached the door and ended the Robb Elementary School standoff with the gunman. Consider during the 2016 massacre at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, it took Orlando law enforcement 3 hours to respond after an emergency call, and 13 people may have bled to death during that time. Orlando officers waited until they were certain that every living human in that building was totally dead. Damn, they must have forgotten to bring their robot. After the Robb Elementary shooting, the entire department was fired. After the Pulse shooting, my research couldn't find a single officer who lost their job. In my head, I can hear their internal calls for officers to respond. Orlando SWAT team leader. Hey Joe, get out of bed, get your SWAT gear on, and get to the Pulse nightclub right away. There is a major mass shooting going on there. Joe responds, major mass shooting, huh? Sounds pretty dangerous. Unrelated, I'm not feeling well. Cough, cough, so I'm taking a sick day. Don't worry, I'll be in tomorrow. For Orlando law enforcement, there are no standard operating procedures for even a mass shooting. Let me tell you a little story so you can put things in perspective. I was interviewing a candidate and my phone kept ringing, so I pressed the button and sent it to voicemail. About 10 minutes later, one of my staff knocked on my door and told me that there was a suspicious package that had my name on it and that I needed to go to the courthouse dock where they scan packages. I said I'd be there when I was done with interviews, which was another half hour. By the time I made it to the loading dock, no less than 4 sheriff deputies were huddled around a package sitting on the exit belt of the scanner. Apparently very upset I didn't make my interview candidates wait in order to come to look at this suspicious package, a plainclothes someone with a badge got in my face and asked me, "Do you know why I'm standing here?" I responded politely, "Because you got all D's in high school." I don't think he dug that. His face turned bright red and he yelled, "Don't you understand that we have a major security issue here? Why did it take you so long to get here?" I told him I was busy and security isn't my job. Isn't that your job? Oh, fuck, that really pissed this guy off. He yelled into my face, "I don't like your attitude." I replied, "Don't you know there are many brands of decaffeinated coffee that are just as tasty as the real thing?" This dumb fuck didn't even understand my joke, but he was getting so worked up I thought a major vein might burst from his neck. If I was a doctor, I would have recommended that he cut his meth intake in half. He asked, "What's in the package?" I shrugged and said, "I have no idea." Still pissed, he asked, "What do you mean you don't know? Apparently you ordered it. Your name is on it." Nonchalantly, I told him, "I order a lot of stuff. My annual MIS budget is $1.8 million. He said, "Well, we can't release this package until you tell us what's in it." I asked, "Do you think there's a bomb in there?" There must be some type of thing where the word bomb is not allowed in a law enforcement conversation, because he shot back, "I didn't say there was a bomb in it." "Okay," I said, ignoring the loud ticking sound emanating from inside the package. He repeated, "We can't release this until you can tell us what it is." I said, "Okay, I'll go back to my office and research it." Spittle was spraying out of this guy's mouth as he yelled, "You can't leave it here." I said calmly, "Okay, I'll take it to my office." Then the guy yelled, "You can't take it." I laughed and said, "Let me understand this. I can't take it and I can't leave it here. What do you want me to do?" I didn't notice, but another clown car of deputies must have arrived. Now more than 10 sheriff officers were grouped around me. Apparently, News of my unique non-bomb package was really making its rounds throughout the courthouse deputies. Now a woman chimed in. I guess she was above the guy that was losing his shit. She asked, "Can you open it?" I looked inquisitively at her and responded, "You think there's a bomb in it, yet you're asking me to open it. Is that what you're asking?" She quickly said, "I didn't say anything about a bomb." I asked, "My department gets like 10 packages a day. Why do you think this one is suspicious?" She said, "Because it has metal boxes and wires in it." "Oh, you mean like a computer? We're the computer department, so we order a lot of those." Side note, some of my friends have worked for Universal Studios Security, and those people have their shit together. Universal has a standard operating procedure called SOP for everything. They have an SOP for a fucking allergic reaction from a bee sting, and every security officer they hire knows every Universal SOP by heart. From day one, their security officers know every step in responding to any type of issue. They are grilled on it before they can pull their first shift. Each of their security officers have a radio and know all the Radio 10 codes, as well as all Universal signal codes. They know who to call and when to call. They know who's going to show up and how long it will take. Before help arrives, they already know how the situation is going to be handled, as well as the eventual resolution. They document every issue using a witness statement, including dates, times, quotes, who, what, when, where, why, how, and the action taken. Orange County deputies don't even have an SOP for a package they believe might have a non-bomb in it. They just wing it, I guess. Now this woman deputy was starting to get pissed. She sternly requested, "Can you open it?" I laughed and said, "What am I going to open it with? My teeth? I'm not allowed to bring a knife in here." Another note, I had tunnel access from my office directly to the judge's elevators with no human in between. I had the ability and access to sling a pair of AR-15 rifles over my shoulders, and using the tunnels and judge's elevator, I could have popped out on each and every camber floor and could have killed every single judge in the building. If the sheriff's response was similar to the pulse response, I could have taken an hour lunch break during the slaughter and still have gotten the job done. Yet, I wasn't allowed to bring a knife into the building using the employee entrance. Again, one hand not only doesn't know what the other is doing, it might have been chopped off and gone unnoticed. A moment later, one of the deputies located a knife in the box that stored all knives that were taken away from visitors and placed it in my hands. Now, there were like 20 deputies surrounding me. This might have been the most exciting moment of their lives. I can't remember exactly, but I believe a general from the Pentagon had quickly been flown in. Very slowly, I slid the knife under the tape, braced for the explosion, and began cutting around the edge of the box. The tension was killing me. Sweat was pouring from my brow. My hands were trembling. I knew my life could end in just a matter of seconds. All that's bullshit. I thought this entire suspicious package thing was a ridiculous waste of time. I looked up at all the law enforcement gang surrounding me and asked, "Why are you guys standing here? If you think there's a bomb in this package, then you'll all get blown up." Almost in unison, every cop said, "We didn't say it was a bomb. It was like a Monty Python moment. We're the knights who say knee." So I took my sweet time, starting at one corner of the box and cutting all the way around the edge. I made it last a long, long time, which was perfect for these deputies because if they all weren't there, huddled around me, staring at my suspicious package, they would have to go back to their mind-numbing station. After about a half hour, being demoted to the newest Orange County Sheriff's professional bomb disposal expert, I removed the 2x2 square top of the cardboard box. All the duties leaned in for the big reveal. Guess what? There was another box inside it. So I took another 20 minutes to cut the next top off, and none of my admirers felt they had more important shit to do. To make a long story a little shorter, I eventually pulled that top off and the box exploded, instantly killing me and all the deputies that had been hovering around me. The explosion was so powerful that it blew out the support columns of the first floor of the building and all 23 floors leaned, then toppled onto the state attorney building, which then toppled and took out the public defender building. The blast killed everyone in all three buildings. I'm sure you heard about it on the news. That was exciting, right? Okay. I looked into the box and told them, "It's a ham sandwich," and then took a bite to make sure it wasn't laced with anthrax. Sorry, I know you're dying to know what was in the box. Calm the fuck down. What I really and truly announced was, it's a computer. I could almost see the disappointment on their faces. I believe their lives were so inconsequential, they wished a bomb had been in the box. If they had been killed, they wouldn't have to get up the next day and be bored out of their gourd. I think they almost considered my package a potential suicide box. Minimum qualifications to become an Orange County deputy include high school or GED diploma, at least 21 years of age, a U.S. citizen, good work history, valid driver's license for the last year, no DUI convictions or any other reduced charge such as reckless driving for the past 5 years. Other driving history will be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. Must not have been convicted of a felony. Must not have been convicted of a misdemeanor involving moral character, false statements, perjury, or domestic violence. Must never have received a dishonorable discharge from any of the armed forces of the United States. No illegal drug usage within the last year. Other drug usage will be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. Good physical condition. Vision of 20/40 corrected or better. That's it, that's all. Nothing special, right? No one special? Right again. Minimum qualifications for Universal Security Officer include high school degree or GED is required. Class D security license must be obtained within first 90 days of employment. Must have and maintain a valid Florida driver's license. Basic computer proficiency required. Ability to operate a motor vehicle. And that's not even getting the $15 per hour job. The minimum qualifications to become a Universal Security Officer are actually higher than to become an Orlando County Deputy. Orlando law enforcement's lack of operational continuity goes back to the election process. The public votes for the elected sheriff, yet has no idea if they are voting for a good cop or bad cop. It's a popularity contest or done by pulling the party handle. Once the newly elected sheriff gets sworn in, they have no interest in making the department better. They're simply happy to have the big paycheck, and now everyone has to salute them. Their main job is to acquire funding for more officers, equipment, and robots. Okay, back to judicial security. Today, the words judicial security have been ingrained in Orange County administrators' brains. Someone gets raped in a judicial chamber. Sorry you can't access those records due to judicial security. Of course, I'm purposely exaggerating that scenario, but in the Ninth Circuit, this has been the case since Belvin Perry came to power and still continues today. There are no checks or mechanisms in place to know if a judge comes to work at all. A chief judge like Perry might let them have a few unpaid days off if that particular judge votes for Chief Judge Perry to stay in power. How and why? Because Perry constantly received a copy of employee prox card records, which included all the judges and judicial assistants. And Perry was an expert at utilizing this information in order to continually be voted as the chief judge for 20 years. I can hear his pitch now. Perry say,
"Hey, Judge so-and-so, I pulled your prox card data and it specifically."
That's how Perry says specifically.
"Shows you never work on Fridays. If you vote for me, I won't call the press and tell them you never work on Fridays."
That is so typically Perry. And there is an abundance of techniques he implemented to stay in power, but we'll get to that in later chapters. As for judges stealing hours from the state, it calls to mind a dealio when Chief Judge Perry wanted the unfinished floors in the Orange County Courthouse built out with more courtrooms. What transpired is, Orange County administrators walked the entire courthouse and looked in every courtroom, only to discover that 70% of them were not being used during the time of their visit. From what I recall, the county asked permission to pull the judge's prox card so they could see how many judges actually came to work, and Perry denied the request, stating it was a breach of security to show which judges were where at any given time. How fucked up is that? The county owns the courthouse and all the prox card readers, yet they're not allowed to read their own data. And that was as far as it went. However, giving some props to Orange County, they didn't build out any more courtrooms until long after Perry was gone. And those two words, judicial security, insulates elected officials from time card scrutiny. This also came into play when the state attorney and public defender asked for a video feed from our courtrooms so their attorneys could monitor when a hearing or trial was ending. This made a lot of sense to everyone in court administration, but Perry saw it as a power grab, and yet another way to garner chief judge votes from judges. If the public defender and state attorney could get a courtroom media feed, they could watch from their office computers. Then they could work in their office right up to the time of their case. Else, they would have to sit around the courtroom until their case came up, which could waste hours of prosecutors' and public defenders' time. The state attorneys and public defenders also wanted the video so they could record it and use different scenarios to train their new attorneys. After all, if you think a new judge sucks, try putting your life in the hands of a public defender that looks like they just graduated from high school. Most have no courtroom experience and are given more cases than 10 public defenders can handle. But no, Perry wouldn't allow it. He fell right back on those magic words, judicial security, and refused to allow the state attorney and public defender to get a live feed from the courtrooms. Apparently, once you say those two words, all conversations on the topic must stop immediately. After all, it's all about judicial security. Only court admin insiders knew the real reason, which was the live feeds would be recorded by the SA and PD, and the very first time a judge lost his shit in the middle of a trial, the SA or PD would send the video to the press, and the judge goes up in front of the JQC. No video meant no record other than a transcript, which really doesn't represent a judge's temperament. For example, on the record, a judge says, "No, I won't have that in my court." However, if the video showed him or her standing up and throwing the book at the public defender while screaming, "No, I won't have that in my court." Big difference, yet without video, it goes undocumented. The court reporter doesn't write actions, just words. Strange that every cop has a body cam, but something as important as a trial has nothing because the judge wants to act any way they want and with complete immunity. Since COVID, there aren't any rules governing judges and judicial assistants' time. They can always claim they are working from home, and the chief judge doesn't have the power to change that. The chief can fuck with any court administration employee and fire them, but other than judicial assignments, they can't tell another judge shit. Believe me, this is a good thing. If you can imagine the hold Perry had on the judiciary without any of these powers, just think how bad it could get if he did. That fact never slowed down Perry in the least. He was like Trump when it came to being defeated in an election. He would do every low-life, underhanded, semi-illegal move to stay in power, and it worked for him for 20 years. It worked for him for so long that the Florida Supreme Court set chief judge term limits, and Perry even fought that. He tried to reason with the Supreme Court by saying that this new rule should apply to new chief judges, meaning that somehow he was grandfathered into staying in power as long as he could intimidate judges to vote for him. I have no doubt that if the Supreme Court hadn't put its foot down and given Perry a clear no, Perry would still be in power to this day. With all the underhanded horse shit he had perfected, he would probably stay in power until he had a heart attack while fucking his next court administration victim on his desk. However, no one would even know the situation of his death due to judicial security.